Welcome to the M3 podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here.
Welcome back to another episode of the M3 podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Bree. I am so stoked to share our next guest interview with one of my dear friends, Emily Hayden. We connected through mutual friends, and we've had several friends tell us, you two need to meet. You two need to connect. I'm surprised you two haven't ran into each other yet. And we ended up speaking at the same event about 5 months ago, recognized that we ran into each other at the locker room at the gym, and we have matching tattoos. Friends have told us we have the same birthday. We have all of these similarities. She hosts retreats as well. She's been hosting retreats for several years called the Evolve with Emily Retreats, and has her own podcast with over 2 million downloads already called the Evolve with Emily podcast. I am hugely inspired by what I've seen this woman create and have done for herself with her own personal transformation, and how she's cultivated the butterfly effect, which is a 33, I believe, transformation four-phase project that you create for yourself as a process of elimination, detoxing, and then reinviting in new aspects of your life that you want to embody and alchemize. And I see this person really tuning into their inner self, being able to ask deep questions and rely on the divine within and experience that in a way that is expressed in our outside world. So it's really beautiful to watch somebody who is super in tune with themselves, expressive and creative and uniquely themselves, evolving in their own way. So she is exactly who she preaches to be, and I'm so excited to share our next guest with you all. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the M3 podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Bree, and I have my friend Emily Hayden here in our house just chilling right now. And honestly, we are vibing with the steam cleaners outside. We're going to roll with the punches here, and I know that it's going to be a great conversation, but I met you through mutual friends. So many people have told us we need to connect for half a year now, and I mean, we have very similar hair and tattoos, which is amazing. Yeah. We have the same birthday.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. And you are somebody that I have no idea I would see constantly throughout different opportunities, whether it was speaking. We got to speak on the same stage. We work out at the same gym. Mm-hmm. And our lives are very much intertwined. I love it. Mm-hmm. As I've now watched your journey, I've heard about you, like I said, but now I'm seeing it. I'm like, wow, this girl does it all. So you are an IFBB Bikini Pro, an athlete with First Form and Alpha Elite. You're a podcast host of Evolve with Emily. You're a retreat host, which I believe are the Evolve with Emily retreats. And you are the creator of the Life Transformation Program. It is a 33-day program called the Butterfly Effect.
Yes, ma'am.
Girl, welcome.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I love having different ingredients that make the best recipe for my life.
Yes.
So that's often reflected in my work as well. I love to have different things that I love and can pour my entire heart into, feel very fulfilled in, and know that I'm providing really good product and experience for my clients. So that's why you probably see me dabbling in the things that matter most to me, right? The online inner work, yes, the podcasting and intentional conversations. And then also the retreats where I get to provide a tangible experience of what it's like to evolve. So yeah, thank you so much. And it's been cool. Wow, getting to like cross paths, and we have so many mutual friends. Like everyone kept talking about you as if I already knew you.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be connected and happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's just dive right into it, because you posted something on Instagram Live just the other day and you were talking about dancing with the contrast.
Mm.
And that's something that I'm currently experiencing where I just stepped away from one-on-one coaching last week. I jokingly kept saying, I need to quit my job, but we still have five other jobs.
Yeah.
And so I decided I'm going to backpack Southeast Asia for the next 12 weeks and take time to take care of myself, because
there's so much that comes into the plate of taking care of other people, but then also dealing and processing with some deep, heavy emotional stuff. And I see that for a lot of entrepreneurs and business coaches or life coaches or anybody that's in the health and fitness industry understands that you just mentioned we need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. So talk about this dancing in the contrast.
Yes. Thank you for bringing this topic up because I love it. And it's definitely something that I had to learn first. And once I learned how to really hold space for both the light and the dark, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative, which was just life, I was able to understand a more peaceful, steady way to go throughout life, right? Because before, if you feel like one experience shapes the entire day. So let's say that you dive into some things emotionally and you're healing really difficult things. You may have a really difficult morning. And a lot of people would say it's just a bad day that my day is ruined because I feel awful and the day's over. And it's no, actually, if you feel it fully, the emotions only last 90 seconds. The rest of that is a story that you're telling yourself about the emotion. Often, if it's something that you've never addressed, it's normal for that to last beyond the 90 seconds. And you're really feeling that. But there is a stopping point, and there can be a stopping point, processing it fully, closing that container. I remember saying, okay, well, what's amazing about today? What can I be grateful for about today? And maybe it's going for a walk. And if you're on the road, the sun hits your skin, and you just tune into that sensation, and you feel it, and you say, wow, I love the warmth of the sunshine on my skin. And then maybe from there, you're feeling a little bit better. And so you decide to go to the gym and your mind might tell you, I can't do an entire leg day. Okay, I love you. So what can you do? I could probably do 10 minutes on the Stairmaster. Okay, go do 10 minutes on the Stairmaster. And so you go and do that. You've got some endorphins flowing out. Now you're feeling good. The music is vibing. Go do my favorite hip thrust or my favorite glute exercise. I'll just do a set. Everybody said, okay, I'll go do that. So you can go do that. And all of a sudden, fast forward, you've got yourself into an incredible leg day. And maybe it's not your best leg day you've ever had, but it's a leg day. You finish it. You feel amazing. You feel so empowered. You have endorphins flowing. And now you're like, wow, I actually feel really good right now. Huh, it can be both. I can hold space for the darkness and hard parts of life. And I can also be fully present in what I do have right now. And I found that when you learn to dance between the contrasts, you get better and quicker at moving between the two. So when you have a really dark and hard moment, it actually doesn't last as long. I remember before I really learned the skill of dancing between the contrasts, sometimes those hard moments, they would like seep into the entire day, seep into the entire couple of days, into a week, maybe even a month, right? But we're learning that the only thing that we have that is guaranteed in this life is the present moment, is the now. But it's like, I'm going to honor, feel, and process everything that I'm feeling, and I'm going to choose to position my heart in gratitude of what's already here, of what's already present. And I caught myself the other day actually doing something that I think maybe a lot of people also deal with. And it's the desire to focus on what's next. Especially when you're dancing between the contrast and part of what's current is quite painful. Those are both, okay, really just fixate on what's next. And I found myself going into a meditation with the intention to receive what's next versus being in the intention of just emptying my mind in stillness and presence and being willing to accept whatever was.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I had this heightened awareness and I just said, oh, I get it now. So yes, I welcome in everything I know to be part of my life path and nothing needs to change. Nothing in this moment needs to change because we're dropping and you actually get into the deepest parts of your heart. There is so much peace. There is so much love. There is so much presence that is available there. And for me, it takes getting through the layers of the analytical mind, of external circumstances, of maybe the emotions I was feeling that day. But when I can get through all of those layers and drop deeply into the present moment, it's this aha. I have everything that I need right now. And everything is beautiful and nothing needs to change. It's something that I've found within myself that everybody has within them, that they can work on cultivating in their life so that they can always access it. And you can always access that deep level of peace within. Your circumstances around you don't throw you around like they used to.
Nothing needs to change. And I feel like the two biggest fears a lot of people have are fear of death and loss of control. And that's something where I feel like a sense of us needs to control the situation by changing it.
And having that surrender of letting go, of just letting be what is in this world, and mm-hmm. knowing that everything in here is enough, whole, perfect as is, mm-hmm. and that we can always have room for improvement to better ourselves, but maybe not the situation, but how we can contribute to our peace in the situation.
That's good.
I like that so much, the awareness.
Yeah, and something that's helped me with surrender, which is something people may not initially just think of or know, is actually cold plunging. I'm a huge cold plunger, and I could go on and on about it, but I'll just focus on the surrender piece of it. But when we initially get into the cold plunge, your body is super tense and super tight, and often your breathing starts to get faster. And eventually, you'll reach this place where you can slow your breathing down, and eventually you're just taking big, deep breaths that are nice and slow, and you feel like, wow, I've really surrendered. But in that moment, if you'll actually tune into your body, typically you'll even feel like you're relaxed. But if you really tune into your body and take a deep breath and say, I let go even deeper, or I surrender, your body will go from this to all of a sudden you'll release a layer. And if you do it 2 or 3 more times, all of a sudden you're like a noodle. And you realize that where you thought you were surrendered, you actually weren't. There was like multiple layers deep of surrender that still existed for you. So that cold plunge gave me a tangible experience, because I was cold plunging every single day. And that cold plunge gave me a tangible experience of the deepening layers of surrender that always exist for us. So now when I'm on my meditation pillow and I'm seeking to go deep within, and I think that I've surrendered something, I have this awareness there's probably layers that I could access by deeper levels of presence, intentionality, and using the power of our words to release and to let go and to surrender further.
You did a live alchemization of changing pain and suffering into love and gratitude. And can you explain that process? That was in real time how you transitioned your state of mind and your state of emotion.
Oh, how to alchemize pain, fear into love, essentially?
Yeah, you stepped on these little...
I see. Yeah, so there's multiple ways to alchemize pain, fear, anything that comes up into love. The one that you're referring to, yeah, is the nail beds. And this practice has been something that one of my girlfriends, Aurora, she was in Hawaii, she actually shared this practice with me. I'm so thankful for that, because now she gifted me my own, and now I get to use it in my home. And what happens when you step on the nail beds is there are so many trigger points within your feet. And so it's stimulating and triggering several different parts of your body. And it's an incredible detox for your body and helps to regulate the nervous system. But also it can often elicit emotions that are stored and stuck within the body, especially when you have the heart positioning of being open to it and welcoming it, not shying away from it, not avoiding it, but actually saying, hey, whatever's here that needs to surface, you're welcome to surface. This is a safe space for you to be here. And I'm here to love you. I'm not here to change you. I'm not here to judge you. The video that you're referring to on my Instagram, which you guys can go watch it if you would like. Yeah, I had some really strong emotions come up, like here in the sacral area, is I just breathed into it and I just said, you're welcome here. Anything that wants to surface is welcome. And some more strong emotions surfaced. And because I've learned emotional navigation and I've really deepened my emotional intelligence with myself and my practices, I know that it's not scary to feel, and that it's actually really beautiful to feel. It's the most genuine, authentic version of us is feeling all of what's true for us. So I allowed those things to surface, and then utilizing my breath, I was able to come to a deeper state of presence and a release of something like that is so strong that's been stored and stuck in the body. It was like the best feeling afterwards. Of course, during I breathe through it, and then afterwards, it's like this softening and this just deepening into love. And then I intentionally breathe into my heart space, and I tell myself always, return to love, return to the love that is within, return to the love. And I let that energy grow and build. And then I imagine that energy of love just going throughout all of my body. And I might even imagine like a white light of love coming through the crown, all the way through my root, all the way back up. And I'm visualizing this, I'm utilizing my breath, I'm staying in my heart space. So in a moment, I was able to alchemize fear, pain, heartache, tragedy, trauma into love.
And that brings me back to the topic of nothing needs to change, because that's still something where people want to get off. They don't, maybe they don't even want to sit with those feelings. And you brought up something again, back to the Instagram live and the moment that you said, I don't want to make emotional decisions.
No life-changing decisions.
Oh, right.
Like moving to the islands with your dog. And the...
Still on the table, by the way.
The fact that we have these needs to make emotional decisions, because I feel like that's us thinking in our head, too, that something needs to change. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to sit with the discomfort.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And it's real important to check yourself and ask what your intentions are. This is actually a really great example. So I lived in Texas for a little bit after I was in LA for 7 years. 2020 hit. I wanted to live my life in freedom and not have people tell me what to do. So I moved to Texas and that was amazing. But while I was in Texas, I kept having this really strong urge to literally run away into the forest or the mountains or something like that. There's this meme that goes around on Instagram where it's like the therapist says, just so you know, running away to the forest and the mountains is a trauma response. Oh my gosh, what's the name for stepbrothers? I can't pull on a blanket. And we're just like, okay, I'll love it. So that's daughter.
And I'm like, yes, all day. And so I had this idea in my head. I was like, I want to make sure that I'm not running away from something. And I didn't ever actually go do that impulse.
It actually took a year later for me when I was in San Diego and I decided to rent a camper van and I always wanted to do this trip. But I also was in this time of life where I was experiencing a lot of hardship and it was actually the hardest time of my life. And I just felt the call to nature. And so it wasn't just, I want to run away from everything.
I was genuinely feeling a call in and I didn't understand it until I got there.
And the first place I went to was Zion National Park. And the second that I got into Zion National Park and the sunset, and I was underneath this beautiful blanket of stars.
For years, I wanted to see stars like that. And I was in Texas and I used to play this projection of stars, the thing that you buy off Instagram, those Instagram ads.
Best buy off Instagram ads. I never bought or purchased those like that and I loved it. However, comparing this projection of something to the real authentic thing was like night and day difference. And the second I got under that beautiful blanket of stars, I felt like the biggest exhale I had ever felt in my life. Or really started connecting with the divine and started just prayer. And I felt that connection. And in that moment, I realized that it wasn't running away from something. I was actually being called to something.
And I think it's important to always ask ourselves, what is the intention behind what I'm doing?
So that we can be grounded in knowing if we were running away from or to something. I ordered that space away from everything and everyone for one that I could sit with myself and to connect and to sit with the divine. So it's asking yourself, too, what are my intentions when I get there? You know, if people have this desire to run away to an island, I also did go to an island for a week by myself. And that was incredible. And then I intentionally chose to sit with myself. When I wrote to the island that time, I had more intention to like do a meditation than what I actually did. So when I got there, I actually needed to swirl the ocean. The second I got in the ocean, it could not get me out of the ocean. Refreshing the snorkel goggles. It was my first time ever snorkeling. And I was just so joyful and giddy. And that was the medicine that I needed. I don't need the medicine of sort of a meditation on an island by myself. I needed the medicine of being in the water and being around nature and seeing this beautiful earth that was created for us to thrive in. Mm-hmm. And that was my medicine then. I really don't think that there's a blanket answer or a one way to do certain things. I think it really comes down to what is your heart's intention and just follow the true, authentic calls of your own heart.
This brings me back to cold plunging.
Cool.
Because a lot of people use cold plunging for physical benefits and you need to do it at this time before or after your workout or type of thing. What's the best time?
Yeah.
I believe that it goes as long or whenever the thoughts are heavy and need to quiet. And so I will sit in there until the thoughts are quiet. And there's times where sometimes I think the thoughts get louder when I'm in there and I'm like, okay, today's not the day for that. That's happened. It's rare.
Mm-hmm.
But today's not the day for that. Sometimes when it's raining and windy out, that might be the day. But then there's days where I could sit in there for a long time and I tell myself, we're going to be strong. We're going to surrender, right? Mm-hmm. And then just go through the layers of it. And then from there, it starts to quiet. The mind starts to quiet. And that's when I'm like, okay, we've done the job. There's no need to be in there for 5-10 minutes. It's just as long as we feel that sense of peace within.
I love that. Yeah, I definitely think there is science to figure out what's going to help benefit you physically the most, typically like before training. But I always say the reason why I kept cold plunging, why I keep cold plunging, is actually the mental and emotional benefits, not the physical. If it was just for the physical, I don't know that I would keep cold plunging as much as I do. And the physical benefits are great, don't get me wrong, but mental and emotional benefits are just so strong for me that that's what keeps me doing it. Mm-hmm. And I agree, I'm definitely all about just tuning into your heart and mm-hmm. finding what you need. I know sometimes the ego likes to have a little fun with it and see how much they can do or how low or can I beat this person or whatever. And I don't think it was a bad thing. Hey, if you want to fight or prove it to yourself or others, go for it. I do think that too much of anything is a bad thing. So I don't like when I hear people doing it for a long time, minutes and whatnot. I'm like, check yourself because that's quite dangerous at such cold levels. And it's different for everyone. Everyone's body responds differently. I actually have issues with my fingers and my toes when they're getting really cold. So that would be not good for me.
Yeah.
But maybe someone else could do it and it's fine. But back to your question. Yeah, just tuning in with yourself, giving yourself what you need. And it's something I recommend for any practice. So either, for example, a morning routine, I tell my clients, rather than having a morning routine where it's number one, journal, number two, affirmations, number three, this, which can be helpful, that helps you go for it. But rather than being so strict with that, just have this dedicated, sacred space for yourself every single day. So maybe in the morning, you sit down and this is your sacred spot. So you have this little choir with this fuzzy pillow that you like to sit at, maybe a candle that's lit, some nice little background music. And in this space, you get to just tune in and ask yourself, what is it that my soul needs today? And maybe today you do need to journal. Maybe today you need to pray. Maybe today you need to meditate or do breath work. So we have all these real beautiful tools that we always have access to. And then what you get to do is just tune in. And I feel like that also helps to really strengthen your intuition and your ability to create a really beautiful, loving relationship with yourself, which is my favorite thing to help clients do, is to really strengthen that relationship with themselves.
I've noticed you talk to yourself is as though, and I find it very true, as though that higher power is the reflection of you talking to the person that is in the moment feeling earth and not fully at that space, but having the awareness of the two. We have the divinity and we have the earth space, right? And there you are, you see yourself in that higher space, talking to yourself like a big sister and saying, hey, I love you. What are we going to do today? This is the time that we're going to take grace and space for what we need. Do you feel that?
But I've never heard it described that way. And that is like so beautiful. It's making me just think of all of these moments where, it's like bringing a heightened awareness of the divinity that was speaking through that version of me. And I talk a lot in my coaching programs about honoring your vessel, like this earth suit that we get to wear is our one and only vessel that we get to walk through this life with. And it's like, we are sure to honor it and to love it and to cherish it. So now the choices that I make in regards to my lifestyle, it's not a diet. It's not a program that I'm following. It's not something that I do to look a certain way. Those aren't the main reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's to love and honor and nourish this beautiful vessel, this wonderful earth suit that I get to wear. It's loving the essence of who I am. And the essence of who I am is that divine part, which is the divine part that we all have in all of us. But I feel like until you tune in and are able to see yourself from that perspective, at the divine perspective, it's hard to learn to love yourself because where we'll only look through the eyes of the human or the 3D, we judge ourselves, or we'll shame ourselves, or we'll say, I know that I did X, Y, and Z when I was younger, and so I don't deserve that love. But we'll have the divine perspective. You're able to see the true essence of who you are. You're able to accept all your humanity, because that is the human experience. It's being able to fall down and get bruised and get cut up and get back up again. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to experience life. So I think when you can reshape your decision-making through a framework of self-love, I'm going to love, honor, respect myself. I remember have moments like, for example, when I'm going through something really difficult, that's very stressful or heartbreak or grief or loss,
I personally lose my appetite, and it's actually a struggle for me. And so in those moments of not wanting to eat, I'll hear myself who says, like, I have no appetite, I can't eat. And I'll speak back to that version of myself, and I say, I love you, and I'm going to love you through nourishing this vessel and this body. Mm-hmm. It's unloving of me to not feed you. So we're going to eat. What can you eat? So you can't eat that. Can you eat this? Okay, great. And then I have like these little requirements. So I really do my best to just show up for myself the best and the most loving, as if I was the little girl version of myself. And I'm like her book sister, like you're saying, was like, hey, I so love you and I see you. All of your feelings are valid. And we're going to eat our next meal. And we're going to go to the gym, even if it's not a great workout. And you know what? We're going to take some time and rest a little bit extra today. Or, hey, we're going to sit in these feelings a little extra today. Are really overwhelming and they're building up a little bit. Let's take time and just rest and recharge and nourish yourself. Yeah, I understand self-love on such a deeper level just because of what I've personally walked through and having to show up for my own self, that now I'm in a season of life where all of the healing that I've done, it's now an embodiment. Like I'm getting the opportunity to walk out all of the healing that I've done.
You just mentioned earlier the framework that needs to be put into play to speak to yourself in a place of love. And it reminds me of 33-day challenge that you give. It's a life transformation program that is a framework. And you have, I believe, four different phases. Can you explain more about what is the butterfly effect, where it came from?
Yeah, thank you for asking. The butterfly effect is essentially a program that I created out of things that I personally walked through. It was the guide that I needed to walk out of the hardest times that I've ever been through in my entire life, the darkest and the loneliest times of my life, in order to live as the authentic version of me, to speak my truth, to know who I am, to live in full alignment. And I, throughout my career or creating this, what I did was, after coming out of the hardest times of my life, I looked back and I asked myself, what were the steps that I took? What did I do to now be in this embodied course that feels radiance? I feel fulfilled. I love my life. I have so many different ingredients in my life that make my life just so worth living. And I'd gotten to a place where I was in so much pain. I didn't think that there was a version of my life that existed without that level of pain. Oh. And so to now be sure where, yes, life still happens and I experience pain and heartache and grief and things like that, but there isn't this thrilling end of the world kind of pain that exists within, which existed because I needed healing, right? And so when looking back at, okay, how did I take myself from that darkest place into just a little over a completely different reality, I realized that I essentially did four things, which ended up being the four phases of the Butterfly Effect program. Number one, I took everything out of my life that wasn't a 100% full body yes. I detoxed my life from everything, everyone, every circumstance, every little syllable that I spoke over myself, every thought, right? Because we can detox ourselves from the external, but often what's happening internal is the most detrimental or the most life-giving to our own lives. So it really is about like this relationship with self. So when I used to be overcome by thoughts of not knowing if I wanted to be here anymore, now that I made this decision to go all in on me, part of this program was not one second of tolerance for those kinds of thoughts. So I would no longer sit and allow those thoughts to grow and to fester. The second it came up, nope, change my mind, change my state. I get up, I go for a walk, I take control, I take my power back, and I be intentional about the words, the thoughts, the intentions of my heart. So that first week is all about detoxing. Talk about detoxing your relationships, environment, your vessel, so the food, the water, if you're intaking alcohol or drugs, taking time to take a break from all of those things, and to really just be intentional about a little aspect of your life and you're including into your life. So even I really love the environment world because it's so sorry to have people clean their home, but that's like a literal part of the program is decluttering, letting go. And I even have affirmations for letting go. Like I bless and release what no longer serves me. So even if it's just old things that are in your clothes that are still in the closet somewhere, but really learning to bless and release with gratitude with those that are no longer serving you in the season of your life.
So that first week is really just an incredible way of letting go, which can be difficult, but when you're letting go, you're making space for a full authentic version of you, the things that are meant for your life and your in this season of your life. So the next one is establishing a new way. So this is implementing new practices, habits, thoughts, affirmations, right? So we're really deciding, okay, this is how I want to intentionally live my life. That third week is about embodiment and healing. So going really deep into meditation and breath work, mm-hmm. which are two big pillars in my life. And I've really just transformed my life, my mind, my heart, and address those little deeper things. We do some work where we visit different versions of ourselves, some from childhood. We visit the future version of ourselves. We even tap in and open ourselves up to the divine and have a meditation for that. And then the last one is now that we've cleared out everything that doesn't belong. Now that you have been intentionally living your life from the moment you woke up to the moment you go to bed, now that you have worked on your healing and the embodiment of these things, we're the co-creators with the divine. So now we get to say, okay, what is it that I want to create in this world? What did I come here to create? What is my unique sound in this world? And how can I play that note so beautifully? It rolls an all-encompassing program. Some people do it in 33 days. I find with people that need the most drastic amount of change, they do it in 33 days. And then other people come and they take much longer to do the program, and that's okay. It's a do-it-yourself at your own pace kind of program. But I do find that the people that just go all in the way that I did, that both have the best, the most drastic, and the quickest results. And the truth is not everyone's ready for that, because what we're talking about is hard. Sometimes when we're faced with detoxing your relationships and you're watching this video and doing the journaling prompts, you're realizing all of the relationships in your life are not fully aligned for the season of your life. So I'm so compassionate and understanding that might be too big of a change for somebody all at once. And so I understand people have their own pace with which they need to go through things. But yeah, it's definitely a life's purpose and mission of mine is this program that I've created. It's a really amazing framework for people to own their power, be authentic with who they are, and to truly live the life that they were called to live.
A lot of people trauma bond over sharing pain and suffering together. I went on a retreat earlier this year where we talked about our rising. And rather than sitting in the pain and suffering together, what can we do to create friendships and bond going through all the things that we've done to build ourselves? And I want to hear about your rising, because you didn't just stumble upon breath work, meditation, cold plunging, eating healthy, all of this at the same time and just say, wake up one morning, I know what to do. I'm curious to know what introduced you to these different parts of your life that you cultivate and create now as what defines your version of love and embodiment of who you are to your fullest self.
I love this question. It's so good. Mine was friends that have walked the path before me. So people in my life that have simply walked the path that showed me one little thing. Or what comes to mind is my friend, Jess Lovato. He's one of my favorite people. He's dating my best friend, Gina, and she's one of my favorite people in the world. Now that they're dating together, I'm just excited. I haven't gotten to explore with them in person yet because he's in Texas, she's in California, but I'm going to spontaneously combust when I get to see them in person. Anyways, I was just so excited about that. Justin, years ago, brought me to this place in Austin, and it was like a recovery place. They have cold plungers and saunas. And I was like, yeah, let's do a recovery session. And before that, I've done a cold plunge before, but never with the intention of how I did it well or how he was doing it. And so we did three rounds, 20-minute sauna. I think it was like 3 or 4 minutes in the cold plunge, 3 times. And that was the first time that I did a cold plunge with the intention of healing and body restoration. And it wasn't like a go back in athletic, except like just grit your way through it and get out. Yeah. There was like presence, there's no intention behind it. So that shifted things for me because I was able to feel how I physically felt and emotionally felt. I was at that time going through a really difficult time. I'd just gone through a really awful breakup and was just completely heartbroken. And to be in that emotional state and then to do something like hot and cold therapy and come out of it, just feel like rejuvenated, like this life force energy had been just reignited within my body. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
And I think about that. I think about one of my friends years ago. His name was Shane, and he tried to introduce me to breath work.
Oh,
and I ever saw that breathing. Like, I just never went to one of the things. And I laugh now because he told me how it changed his life. How he went to one breath work session and was like, I'm becoming a facilitator. And he went and did the Truro and led it. And I had no idea what it was. And I just wasn't that interested. I don't know. I just never went. But I look back at that and I'm like, oh, she was a friend. He would walk the path. Yeah. He was just sharing something with me. And I didn't take it for him. I ended up taking it through Justin, actually, for one of my first ones. And so I look back at all these different practices. Some of them were self-led, like yoga. I felt like I just wanted to go to a yoga class. So I went and I started experiencing these small benefits. I remember back in the day before I was conscious and aware, I'd go to yoga. And again, it was like, I think because I was so disconnected from my mind, emotional, and my body state, that I would go and I'm like, it's a little uncomfortable stretching. There was no presence. There was no breathing. I didn't understand the body awareness that could come with it. So now, being somebody who cold plunges all the time and does hot and cold therapy, now I'm into breath work, now I'm doing meditation, I wanted to go to yoga. So when I go to yoga, I'm walking in there as somebody with presence, the ability to have awareness. I'm very intentional. So I go in there and now I'm having a different experience in yoga. And now when we're hitting a pose, I realize that there's a deepening layer of surrender. If I'll just breathe into that muscle. And I found myself like literally just softening and relaxing in such irony to my body that I never reached before. Before, I was always just so uncomfortable, but I was able to really tune into my body and what I needed and move through that discomfort and to even intentionally tell myself, surrender. Okay, surrender a little bit deeper. And I could really relax and soften into it. So all of these practices have just been so nourishing to my soul. And I think that I just really have to chalk it up to friends and people in my community that walk the path and were nice enough to introduce me to it, which is why I do my best to try to share anyone that wants to listen. I try to share with them the practices that have helped me too.
Retreats. That is part of walking the walk and sharing your rising. And you have now walked your own path and are leading others through that similar path in their own way. Talk about your retreats. What do people experience? What do they go through? What is it like? And how does it make you feel?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So years ago, I had an idea. And the idea that came from the fact that everything that I did was online. I initially started my Evolve brand as a YouTube series. And it wasn't a brand back then. It was a little just started a YouTube series, what I want to call it. And I had this like real strong call to call it Evolve. And I was like, I know that I'm meant to evolve in my life and being faced with this decision to evolve or remain the same and accept things that I know are not my highest self. Or I have to evolve. And so I named it Evolve. I did 53 episodes, which is insane for a YouTube series. And that spawned into a podcast. The podcast spawned into a coaching program. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I want to give people a tangible experience of what it's like to evolve. So I hosted my first retreat. It was in LA in, oh goodness, I think it was 2018. And I remember crafting every little thing that we did, from the hike to the little dancing at the beach, to journal prompts and burning it in the fire, to the sessions that we did, which was a little bit of a teaching segment combined with intentional inner self-discovery and then also like partner exercises to create connection and safety within the group. And it was wild. I'd never done a retreat before in my entire life. And I just kind of intuitively knew what I should do with each thing.
And my first retreat ran so smooth, smoother than the smoothest butter.
And I was just like, wow, this is what it's like to live out your purpose. This is what it's like to be in that divine flow.
Every moment was just so beautiful. The divine was all over that retreat. It was insane.
Most of us were crying all the time. And there was full synchronicities that were happening. It was just so beautiful. And that was when I was like, oh, this is what I'm meant to be doing. Then I hosted some more, and as I've evolved as a person, the retreats have evolved quite a bit. My last retreats were in Hawaii and then Iceland. And what's interesting is in Iceland, logistically, it didn't go great. It worked, didn't. Flights were canceled or delivered. I had to buy more flights last minute. The schedule of weather, just everywhere was not logistically great. And it was the most incredible experience ever. And people told me that was the most amount of love that they've ever felt in their life. Not just for me, but for other people in their retreat. The container that was created and the energy that was felt was transformative. It was rooted in so much love, and it allowed such a safe space for people to go places that they've never gone before. I had a woman who was, I believe, in her 50s, maybe 60s, who came to the Isla one, and she said that she had never meditated before. She had never accessed that part of her or that part of the divine before, and had the most beautiful experience. So getting to facilitate that, it was all the reflections that came were just these divine moments that really reaffirmed to me that this is what the world needs right now. They need a safe space to be the full authentic expression of who they are without judgment, without shame, letting them know that they're okay. They're not just okay. They're so loved. They're so worthy of love. And that love is actually their truest essence. And so I believe that my purpose is evolving as I evolve, but it really is, I have chills right now. It's why I'm here on this earth, is to help people return to the love within themselves. So all the practices that we do at my retreats, the hot and cold therapy, the meditation, the breath work, the partner exercises, the fire adventure, exploration, and dance, it's all crafted to help people return to the love within themselves.
That's impactful and so empowering too. It's for that one person. If you can just help one, you know that you're making a difference and making an impact of helping someone return back home to their body and to their spirit. I am noticing right now, which I love, is you're very intentional, very conscious. You even brought this up, that I am conscious and aware. You identify with that. And I even see you touching the pillow, very conscious and present of it. I'm digging this so much. Where do you feel like you change from living life to being conscious and fully alive in your world?
First, I'll say, I think we're probably always going to have some unconscious parts. So as much as I'm conscious and aware and intentional, I am aware that there are things that I'm unconscious or might be happening, yeah, at a subconscious level. So I think it's important to note that, because sometimes there can be like a little bit of ego that gets involved with when you start doing work on yourself. And I've just been humbled time and time again. I'm even thinking about the version of me 5 years from now. She could probably watch those fairy tale things, but I'm not her yet. I was still so worthy, and I'm the highest version of myself right now. It can be both. But I remember that what helped me be conscious and aware and intentional is slowing down. We live in the fastest paced society that we've ever been in all of humanity. And it's actually really hard to break free from the fast pace that we're at. And so stillness, presence, beingness. We even live in a very masculine-dominated society. And I believe that the masculine energy is more praised by the external world. And masculine and feminine energy are both beautiful and both have so much power and so much incredible uniqueness to them. And they're both necessary. I love the masculine energy. I come from being definitely worn my masculine in the previous years. And as I've healed, I've reintegrated my feminine into this really beautiful place of harmony between the two. Sometimes I prefer the out of balance, but I think it's important to note, because the masculine energy is all about the setting goals and structure and framework and going after the goals that you're setting for yourself. So it's very destination and goal oriented, the doing and the action. The feminine essence is about the being. And often in the world that we live in, the blueness, the stillness, the presence, the receptivity is not necessarily something that people are like posting on Instagram about to get praised for, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I feel that because of the way that the society is really driven and praised and validated, it makes it harder to want to slow down and to know that it's okay. Like even in my own journey, oh my gosh. It was taking so much intentional work and effort to slow down, to be still, to be present, to tune within. And on days where I don't feel like I accomplish much, to know that I'm still just as worthy as my day that I accomplished the most. So for me, it's been like really unlearning a lot of the ways that I just grew up in and the ways that I was functional. And relearning what is my authentic essence. My authentic essence is being in, for me,
mostly that feminine essence with the masculine to provide that structure and those beautiful sort of containers and to set goals and achieve them. But the feminine is really where you get to tune into that deep essence of who you are, where you can find that spiritual connection, where you really get to know yourself. Yeah, I think the awareness and the presence comes with doing things that promote that, like the meditation, breath work, yoga, even dancing, or closing your eyes, doing a body scan. So there's a lot of things that can help you become more conscious and aware. And then also last thing I'll say is for me, one thing that's very helpful is mentors and coaches, because they help you see what you can't see yourself. So there's often many times where I'll go to a coach or a therapist or a healer or somebody, and I'll say, hey, I'm not seeing something. Help me see it. And I'll share what I'm sharing. And then they'll get to see the thing that is in your blind spot. Which is why it's always good to just keep in our awareness that as conscious, aware, and healed as we become, there's probably more and deepening layers to it. And when we're ready, it will be revealed to us.
The other aspects of the rising are people who might be still sitting in that pain and suffering, getting glimpses of hope, but then coming back to it. We think that we're okay. And a lot of times we're like, I'm unshook. Like nothing's going to shake me, you know? And then all of a sudden you get knocked down again. Something might take you out. And you even mentioned, I'm going back to the Instagram live, but like something took me out and I didn't let that affect my whole day. And you have a better awareness of how to get yourself out of those situations, but not everybody's at that level. And I'm curious what advice you would give somebody who might A, really be sitting in that pain and feeling stuck, and maybe B, they have the glimpses of hope, but I'm just thinking of, I have a friend who was sober for a few years and went back to drinking and is trying to get back to being sober again. They thought that they had it. They thought they were going to be okay. But what advice could you give to somebody that's in those states?
The first thing I would say is to bring loving presence to this current version of you. The version that's struggling, the version that just relapsed, the version that messed up. Bring your loving presence to this version. And if you struggle to do that, print out a photo of yourself from when you were a little girl and understand that as you love this version of yourself, that's who you're really loving. So if it's hard for you to speak loving to yourself in the mirror right now, print out a photo of her or him and look at her or him and speak those loving words to him. Tell her, tell him that they are worthy. They are worthy of you getting up and of you trying again. Be that loving person that your little girl, your little boy inside has always needed. And just know that you're not here to be perfect. You're allowed to get it wrong. You're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to mess up. You're allowed, can I cuss?
Yes.
You're allowed to fuck around and find out.
Yes, fuck around and find out.
One of the most cruel things that I ever did for myself was I gave myself the permission to fuck around and find out. I know full well that I was going to accept whatever that meant, right? So I didn't do it too recklessly, but I did do it in the sense of like, I might find out and I'm willing to, but I want to fuck around a little bit, right? I want to fuck around and find out. That was the theme of my camper van trip, because I never rented a camper van. People were like, oh, do you know how to do all these things on the van? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know how you're going to do that. I said, I'm going to fuck around and find out. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yep.
I just had a willingness to figure it out, I think has carried me through a lot. It's allowed me to have a lot of life experiences, and I don't regret any of them. Though some for sure were like, okay, don't need to do that again. I learned, you know, but there was none actually that I regret, because I wasn't being reckless with it in a way that would have clearly a bad idea. I think sometimes people take that phrase and then use it with something that could be even self-destructive. This is not what I'm promoting. I'm just promoting giving yourself the freedom to be a human being. We are human beings. And for people that feel like they're getting caught in their hardship or their emotional turmoil or pain, that's why I think it's so important to know how to navigate your own emotions, to have a process, to know what it's like to have a container for things. I'm big about creating sacred containers. And also, if you don't know, find somebody who knows to help you, support you through that. I remember the last thing too is community. We were not meant to go through this life alone. We weren't meant to struggle alone. We're not meant to be in this isolated way of living our lives that this society now and like the generation that we're in now have created. It's so normal for us to spend so much time alone. And I just don't think that's how the human being is really created. It takes a lot of intentionality to create community that is intentional, where you can be your full authentic self with. It's something that I set out to create for myself. And now that I have that, I have people in my life that I can come and I can be the fullness of who I am around. Actually, that's the only people that I have close to me in my life. And it's the most full and beautiful feeling, because I know that if I was struggling to process or to go through things alone, that after I've taken time to do it myself and to tune in, I'm not coming and just dumping all my stuff on somebody. I've gone in, I've dealt with my stuff, and I need support. I have people that I can call up and I say, hey, this is what I'm navigating through, or hey, I'm really struggling in this moment, or whatever it is, and they're there for me. And so you don't have to do it alone. I think there's this idea in this world that whether it's a good thing, like a businessful goal, or it's a hardship, like deep emotional pain and suffering, we have this idea that we have to do it alone, and you don't. Most people who get through don't do it alone. So yes, you need to show up for yourself. Yes, you need to be the one that picks yourself up off the couch, but you can receive support as well. And that support and that community might just be something that can carry you through in a way that you can't carry yourself through.
And there's a lot of people who might have many friends or social media friends or however it may be, but I've heard this several times where people have told me, I don't feel like I have anyone to call in those moments.
Oh.
And I've always said, call me, please, yeah, call me. But I've been that person that I feel like I have many friends. And at the same time, I don't want to put anyone else through my burden. And so I don't know who would be willing to sit through that discomfort or pain, you know? And I'm like, I don't have anyone to call. But I think that's something that we need to change in our narrative, that we do have and we need to call those people,
mm-hmm,
especially if we feel like we can't call someone. Mm-hmm. Who's the first person that can come to mind that you can say, if they don't answer the phone, I'll call the next person. But I'm going to do the effort on my end, like you just said, show up for yourself and call the person and know that you have the connections.
I love that. Okay, two things I have to share about that.
Yes.
You said something important. You said, who would be willing to sit with me in this? Now, where I'm at in my life, when I was really intentionally crafting the community that I wanted to have around me, I put myself in spaces like going to the exact same breathwork class or meditation class or yoga class the exact same day and time every single week. And I did that intentionally so that I could create relationships with other people who are doing the work,
mm-hmm,
who have the capacity to hold my light and my darkness, who are at the level that I'm at in my personal growth, because it really does make a difference. So there's that. There's intentional community that you can create. And also, even if you're not there yet, there was not one person that could call me in a moment of pain and suffering who really needed me to show up for them that I would not show up for. And so I think it's important that you just allow people the opportunity to show up for you. Now, I think it's different if there's a little bit of codependency, you're not handling your own stuff, or you're like relying on someone else to fix you or give you the answers. That's going to turn into an unhealthy sense of codependency between you and somebody else. But if you are calling just to get support, and you're actually listening, you want to receive that feedback and want to be heard and be seen and be supported. And I think it's a beautiful gift that you give, not just to yourself, but also to the person that's giving you that gift. I had a friend recently who, she was going through a difficult time, and she shared the things that she was going through. And maybe other people could have seen that as venting, but she's someone who's doing the work. I'm someone who's doing work. And so I said, let it out. Even if it is a vent sesh, let it out. Whatever is the fullest of you in this moment, that's beautiful. I was able to hold that space. And after leaving, I didn't feel drained. I didn't feel like my energy was taken. Because guess what? I am responsible for my own energy and what I allow in and what I allow out. I think sometimes where people are such strong empaths, they don't have protective boundaries around their energy, and they just allow it to seep and ooze out anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they allow people to be energy vampires with them. And I think that with some healthy boundaries and knowing that your energetic space, like your energy body, which is around your physical body, that you can actually be in control of that, of who gets access to that and who doesn't. And when you're able to show up for your friend in a space of them going through something difficult, it can actually be energy giving. It doesn't have to be energy sucking. And so I thought it was a really beautiful experience to show up for one of my friends and feel energized, because she was beautifully authentic.
authentic and tears and difficult emotions. Like, I see that as so beautiful because it's true. Mm-hmm. And I've also faced all of my own darkness and demons and hard things. So it's not bad. It's not negative. It's not ruining my day. It's beautiful because it's true and it's something that will pass. I really hope that we can have a different framework and perspective around emotions, especially the ones that people see as negative or as bad, because they're not negative or bad. They may be difficult to go through. They're beautiful. They're authentic. They're true. When you actually see, feel, and express them, they don't stay there.
Yes.
You don't get stuck in those states. You get to allow it to move through your body and then be an open vessel for whatever else is meant for you that day. We're not meant to live lives in pain and constant suffering and depression and anxiety and all those states. Like, our bodies are so intelligent. They're always giving us signs and symptoms and signals to let us know what's happening more internally. So we learn to tune into our body and to appreciate it and to love it for all of the signs that it gives us. We're able to move throughout life and to navigate through these things a little bit differently. And that gives us more peace.
100%. I've never done this before, but I feel called to do this right now.
Okay.
I want to do like a spitball fire of questions.
Do it.
I love this.
Cool.
What is the divine for you? How do you define the divine?
Love. Love. Tune into the energy of love that exists within you. Tune into that space and you're tuning into the divine. It's the easiest way to sum it up. The divine is love. Anything that is not love, in my perspective and my belief, is not the divine.
What is the ego to you?
The ego is self-protection, and it's built in for self-protection to like literally keep us alive. And I don't think that it's a bad thing either. And I don't seek to destroy it. I actually seek to work with it, to hear it, to love it, and to learn from it.
What is peace of mind to you?
I would reframe it as peace of essence. Because when you know your true essence, it is peace. So seeking to have a peace of mind is almost like a desire to control the thoughts or stop the thoughts. But you can be experiencing a lot up here. If you tune in to hear to your truest essence, you'll find peace.
What is healing to you?
The journey of returning to love.
That's great. And what does presence mean for you?
Life. Presence is life force. Presence is the only thing that we have. Presence is perfection. Presence is peace. Presence is love. Like, presence. We're looking for the thing that exists within always.
What is love to you? That's my last one. It feels like an extra I needed to add.
Love to me is unconditional presence and understanding and perspective of the true essence of who we are and who others are.
Agree.
When you really know the love that you are, you're able to see that in others, even when their actions don't reflect that, even when they choose to act from a different place, you can still choose to see what they are. We all at our core are love. Anything that is not love is a lack of love.
Wow. Just wow to this conversation. I'm baffled and honored to have you.
Thank you. I loved it. Such good questions.
Thank you.
Yes.
How can someone walk the path with you? Are you hosting future retreats? I know your podcast is coming back. So let's talk about this.
My favorite platform is my podcast. I have 4 episodes that are in editing right now. So I believe the first one will be posted, if not at the end of this week, at the beginning of next week. So the podcast is where I get to share just like this. My Instagram is like during the moment shares. So I'm pretty active on my Instagram stories. And I'll share like a thought of the day, or I'll share something that's coming up for me, or something along my own healing journey. I work in a one-on-one capacity with clients, and I help them to build a relationship with themselves so that they can know the true essence of who they are, so that they can speak their truth and be able to know what's serving them in life, what's not serving them in life, and be really empowered to always play to the power that's within so they can walk out the most authentic version of who they are.
I also have retreats as well, which I'll be posting about on my Instagram with some future details. So yeah, the best place is definitely just go to my Instagram, Emily Hayden, and then you can keep up to date with everything that's there.
And right now, for anybody who is just listening to this, I mean, just listening is, you're doing great things already for listening to this episode. Yeah. Emily is tuning into herself as I'm asking her these spitfire questions. She's closing her eyes. And that's something that I just recently started doing through journey work. And I've never even heard of journey work until recently. Mm-hmm. And it is actually taking the time to go through the journey of what's within and asking yourself those deeper questions and not relying on the external world for that.
Part of it is listening too. I think we don't slow down enough to listen to the whispers of our heart. Mm-hmm. And if we're listening, the answers are there.
Thank you for being on this show.
Thank you. You're such a good host. I just feel the energy is so good and so loving and such a safe space to share. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.